Once again, we'd like to welcome everyone who's here at the meeting this evening, and we trust that God will bless us as we look into His Word again this evening, as we consider again the great subject of salvation, the salvation of God that's available and on offer to each one of us this evening. I'd like to read this evening, please, in the book of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, and chapter 2. Just a few verses I'm going to read, but it's just one part of the verse that I want to bring before us particularly this evening. So we'll set it into its context, and we'll read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now that's what we're going to read this evening, and we look to God to bless to us the reading of His Word. It's particularly that first half of verse 3 that I want to concentrate on this evening. It says this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I've got a problem with my car. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but every now and then, my car makes a noise as if there's a belt slipping, and it screeches at me. It doesn't happen all the time. And it was really the fact that I haven't actually got anything done about it yet that made me think of this verse. I want to think about neglect. Now, there's many reasons, I suppose, why we might neglect things. Why is it that I haven't got my car seen to yet? Well, I guess part of the thing is that it doesn't happen all the time. You know, if something's screeching at you all the time, then you realise that there's a problem. Well, I know there's a problem, but because it's not doing it all the time, I think, well, maybe it's going to get over it and it'll just sort itself out. But lately this problem has got a little bit more. Because now not only do I get the screeching noise, but every time it happens I get a smell of burning rubber. And so I think really I need to do something about it. Maybe soon I will. But you know, it's difficult, you're so busy. And actually if I take my car into the garage, I won't have my car, and I need my car. I need my car for work, and I'm so busy that really I just haven't got time to take it into the garage. You know, there's many reasons why we neglect things. But this evening I don't want to talk about my car. I want to talk about what this verse calls so great salvation. I want to think with you for a little while this evening about why it's so great. And I'm going to bring before you just three reasons, maybe more, but three reasons in particular why it is so great salvation. First of all, you know, it's so great salvation because it deals with so great a need. It deals with so great a need. You know, going back to my car again, I know that I've got a problem. And every now and then, my car reminds me that there is a problem. But in the time in between times, I can kind of forget that I've got a problem. And I just kind of go swimmingly on and think that everything is okay. You know, life's a bit like that, isn't it? I want to tell you this evening, and really you don't need me to point this out to you, but I want to remind you this evening that every single one of us has got a problem. In fact, there are two problems, I guess, that we have. And the first problem that we have is the problem of sins. The problem of sins. That is, that every single one of us can look back in our own experience and we can see things in our lives and about our lives that we'd rather weren't there. And things that we've said and things that we've done that we'd rather not have said or done. And I guess in each of our lives there are things that we feel guilty about. Now a lot of the time we can go through life and just not think about them. But you know, they're there. In the background, they're there. And as we look back, some of them are greater than others. And some of them stick in our minds more than others. But there is guilt. And every now and then that guilt kind of raises its head, doesn't it? And it reminds us that there's a problem. Our conscience has troubles. Our consciences trouble us from time to time. And suddenly, as we're going along, something will come in and we'll remember something that we've done or something that we've said. Or something that we've not done that we should have done. And it comes back to us. And there's a feeling of guilt. I want to tell you this evening that this so great salvation is a salvation that deals with our sins. You know, I would that we could understand each and every single one of us this evening the seriousness of this problem. We read something about the seriousness of this problem at the end of verse 2. The writer to the Hebrews is writing to Jewish people. He's writing to those that have been given the Word of God, but specifically the Old Testament. And particularly when we think of the Old Testament, we think of the bits about the Old Testament that are called the Law. And God gave to His people, His earthly people, the Law. And we can think of 10 commandments that He gave them. But He gave them more commandments than that. And what it says here is that every transgression, that is, every act of law breaking, every time that law was broken, and every act of disobedience received a just recompense, a reward. He says that was in the past. That was under the law. That was under the legal system that God established, and you can see it in effect. Every transgression, every disobedience received a just recompense, a reward. I want to tell you this evening that every sin that we have ever committed demands a just recompense, a reward. Every sin that we have ever committed is a sin that demands the punishment and the judgment of God. Now, if that's not serious, I don't know what is. If that isn't serious, I don't know what is. And we can go through life, and the fact that things that we've done don't receive an immediate retribution can make us think that it's never going to happen. But the Bible is absolutely clear, absolutely crystal clear, that everything is being written down. Everything's there, indelibly, written in heaven. And one day we're going to have to answer for it. The question of our sins. You know, this evening, this so great salvation is a salvation that deals with our sins. When we point you to the person of the Lord Jesus, and when we point you to His work on the cross of Calvary, we can point you to a work that clears us of the penalty of sins, for the judgment of our sins that our sins deserve, because the Lord Jesus took our place and took the judgment that was due to us for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that salvation worth having? The forgiveness of sins. You know, Paul, on two occasions, to the Ephesians and to the Colossians, when he's writing to them, he's talking about the greatness of the salvation, and he's talking about the greatness of the person of Christ, and he says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? I'll ask you this evening, have your sins been forgiven? Or are they still troubling you? As I say so quite often, maybe they don't trouble us enough. Maybe it is that we can go through life and we can just kind of put them on the back burner. So the verse that we're looking at this evening, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape. There is no escape from judgment for our sins without this so great salvation. Well, I said we have two problems. You see, we've not just got the problem of sins. We've not just got the problem that our sins demand the punishment and the judgment of God. But the Bible tells us that we've got another problem. And that is the problem of sin. That's the problem of sin. Not sins this time, but sin. And that is the principle of sin working its way out in our life. That's why we sin. That's why we commit sins. I always remember my granddad when he was preaching. And my dad after him, he would say, we're not sinners because we commit sins, but we sin because we're sinners. See, it's not just the fact that we've done things wrong that make us unfit for the presence of God. It's the fact that we are wrong. It's the fact that we have sin in our lives. You see, when we do things that are wrong, we're very good at passing the buck. And we're saying, yes, I've done something that's wrong, but it's not really my fault, you see. It's not really me. I did it because. And we might blame circumstances, or we might blame other people, the kind of people that we hang around with, and it was them that made me do it. But you see, really, the message of this so great salvation is the message that makes us face up to the fact that not only have we done wrong in God's sight, but we are wrong. And that we're not fit for his presence. You see, I wonder the message of the gospel. He said, God just doesn't deal with the things that we've done wrong. And God doesn't just say, I'll forgive you for your sins, but you're still not fit for my presence. The wonder of this so great salvation is that through the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, sin itself has been dealt with. The root of sin as a principle, a work in our lives, is something that has been dealt with by Christ at the cross. And as a result, God can welcome us into heaven. And so you're now fit. Those of you that put their trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation, you're now fit for heaven through him. That's so great salvation, isn't it? That's so great salvation. Are you neglecting it? Are you saved this evening in the meeting? Are you saved? Are you ready for heaven? Are you ready to meet God? If not, why not? It's so great salvation because it meets so great a need. But it's so great salvation because it points us to so great a Saviour. You see, we've spoken about the Lord Jesus already. But you see, when we speak about the Lord Jesus, we're not just speaking about a man who died on a cross, a man who lived in Palestine 2,000 years ago and who died a cruel and a terrible death. Under the worst form of execution that the Romans could come up with. A man who lived, a man who died. You know, the Bible tells us that he's not just a man. He's the Son of God. He is, as the Bible would call it, God manifest. God on display in flesh. God come down to this world. Why? To save. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world through him might be saved. You know, that shows me something about how great my need was, you know. How great my need is. How serious my sin is. Because it cost God no less than his very Son. It cost the Lord Jesus to come down from the throne of God, down to this world, to be born in Bethlehem, to be cradled in a manger, to live here on this earth, to do those wonderful miracles that he did, to teach the wonderful teaching that he taught, but ultimately to go to that cross at Calvary. Why? Because there's no other way that our sins could be dealt with than through his death on our account. So great a Saviour. So wonderful a Saviour. So perfect a Saviour. You see, he was different from us. Not just because he's God. Come down to this world. He's different from us because he's sinless. Different from us because there was never anything that he did that was wrong. There was never anything that he should have done that he didn't. There was never anything that he said that he had to apologize for. Tell me, do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody else like that? There's nobody like the Lord Jesus, is there? There's nobody like him. How about it goes deeper than that? For the Lord Jesus is somebody who never even thought the wrong thing. Never did anything good for the wrong motive. You know, sometimes we can do something good and it's really for our own self-advancement. And it's really so that people can see us and so people can see how good we are. You know, the Lord Jesus never did anything for the wrong motive. In fact, the Lord Jesus in his teaching, he could speak to them about the law and its requirements, and he'd go beyond it, and he'd go and he'd touch on the very motives. And the things that the Lord Jesus said carried with it such authority. Why? Because the people saw that he absolutely lived what he was teaching. Nobody like the Lord Jesus. Absolutely perfect. So great a Saviour. So great because of who he is in his intrinsic person. Who he is as the Son of God, as the Creator of all things. So great a Saviour because of who he is in his moral perfection. There's nobody else who could have gone to that cross. Nobody else who could have paid the price that was demanded. Nobody but the Lord Jesus. Praise God he did. Praise God he did. Praise God that he went to that cross of Calvary, that he gave his life, that he went through the judgment and the darkness and the agony of Calvary so that we could be saved. Praise God for so great a Saviour. You know, there's one reason that I might not be going to, or that I might not be so keen to get my car fixed, is that I'm not entirely sure that the garage knows what's wrong with it. Sometimes they can say things, and sometimes they can say that this is wrong with it, and they can go and try and fix it, and actually that's not what's wrong with it at all. But there's something else. I want to tell you this evening that this salvation is so great salvation because the Lord Jesus is the only one who can bring salvation. He's absolutely trustworthy. He can be depended upon. He can be relied upon. Not just because he died, but because he rose again from the dead. Because he lives in the power of an endless life. You know, as you go back through the book of the Acts, and as you look at the preaching of the early Christians, One of the things that they emphasize time upon time upon time again is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He's alive. He really is alive. Can we get that into our hearts this evening? He is alive. He's exalted, a prince and a saviour. Says Peter, salvation's found in nobody else. Salvation's found in nobody else. So there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So great a saviour. So great salvation. Are you saved? It's one of the reasons why you're neglecting being saved. That you don't have confidence in the Saviour. That you're not sure that the Lord Jesus can be trusted. You know, until you come to that point, you can never be saved. Until you come to the point of saying with a hymn writer, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost and helpless, thou canst make me whole. Thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. Let's ask you this evening. Have you come to a realization of the greatness and the seriousness of your need in the sight of God? Tell me, have you come this evening to an appreciation of the greatness and the wonder of the person of the Lord Jesus? So great a Saviour. So great a Saviour and so great love that has been demonstrated. For God so loved the world. God loved the world to this extent, this much. You remember the little book that was written, the little hare and the big hare? And it guess how much I love you. And it starts off by saying this much. And big hare, because he had bigger arms, could say this much, and it was bigger than little hare's. And eventually, the little hare would say, as he's going to sleep, I love you to the moon. And big hare said, oh, that's far. That's really far. But then big hare said this. He said, I love you to the moon and back. I love you to the moon and back. How great was the love of God for us? God loved us this much. That he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. The only one. And when we speak of the only begotten, it speaks about the uniqueness of the place of Christ in the affections of the Father. It speaks about the uniqueness of his person. It speaks about the fact that he was all that God had. That everything that God had was bound up in him. That all the purposes that God would have for this world and for the people in it. So for his creation and for the new creation. It's all bound up in him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. So great love. So great salvation. So great a Saviour. You say, I suppose one of the things that's really stopping me taking my car in is when you take your car in to get fixed, it costs money, doesn't it? And I'm not sure how much it's going to cost me. I've got a wee suspicion that it's going to cost me quite a bit to get it fixed. And there's something that's kind of holding me back. I've maybe been here too long. And then there's something that I don't like parting with money so much. Maybe what's stopping you getting saved tonight You might be saying to yourself, well, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me? And really that is something that we need to take into consideration. See, the Lord Jesus would talk about the cost of discipleship. And he would talk about the cost of following him. He says, if any man will follow me, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. Salvation carries with it a cost. And there are things maybe I do now that I won't be able to keep on doing. And there might be places I go now that I won't be able to keep going to. Salvation demands a cost in that sense. But I want to tell you that it's so great salvation. Because in the big sense, in the absolute sense, it costs nothing. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. The Lord Jesus has paid everything when he died at Calvary. He's met every cost, every demand of every single sin that I have ever or will ever commit has been met by the Lord Jesus. And he's paid it in full. That debt, that great debt that I was in, as far as God was concerned, it's been written off. And it's been stamped, paid in full. Paid in blood. Paid at the cross. Paid by my Son. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so great salvation? It's been paid. So really, everything? You mean there's nothing that I have to do? There's nothing that I have to add to it? Nothing at all. Wouldn't be salvation otherwise, would it? It wouldn't be salvation. It wouldn't be the grace of God if in any way we had to earn it. No, the price has been paid. It's an infinite price. That's why it demanded the Son of God to pay it. But it's been paid in full. You say, well, what about those transgressions and acts of disobedience and sins that are all written in heaven? You know the wonderful thing? When a person puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, it's white, completely clean. Says the Lord to Israel in Isaiah chapter 44, he says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. Isn't that wonderful? All blotted out. Not just a clean sheet to start again and mess up again, but a clean sheet entirely and a clean sheet forever with God. Blotted out. Never raising question ever again. So great salvation. Mind you, that puts the things that I might have to give up into its perspective, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus was prepared for such a price for me. So, Jim Elliot was a, or somebody else, that Jesus Christ was God, and if he dies for me, no sacrifice that I can make for him can be too much. Yes, it might involve me giving things up. It might involve me going to different places, doing different things, reading my Bible, praying, associating myself with God's people. It might involve, or it will involve, a complete change in my life. I want to tell you it's worth it. It's worth it. Because it is so great salvation. Because the Saviour has paid so great a cost that there's nothing that ever I could do in gratitude or in return to him that could ever even begin to repay the debt of love that I owe to him. Isaac Watts put it this way. When he was contemplating the cross of the Lord Jesus, He says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I'll ask you this evening, are you prepared to give that to Him? Are you prepared to yield yourself to Christ this evening? Are you prepared to trust Him as your Saviour? Are you going to walk out of this hall this evening the same way that you went, the same way that you came in? Maybe thinking about these things from time to time, maybe pricking your conscience maybe once a week or so, as we come and as we consider such things together and trying the rest of the time through busyness of life to put them out of your mind. Are you going to go out of this hall neglecting God's salvation? You know, with no idea, no way of knowing when we'll have had our last opportunity. If there's a belt that's going to go in my car, no idea, no way of knowing when it's going to break. I need to get it sorted out. Maybe I'll do something about it tomorrow. But that's only because I can't do something about it today. You know, God's salvation is so important and so serious and so wonderful that we can't afford to wait. We can't afford to neglect it, and we can't afford to put it off. Because one day it might just slip through our fingers. That's what he said at the beginning. We ought to give the more earnest heed. We ought to pay the absolutely closest attention possible to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, lest at any time, like dry sand, they should just run through our fingers. You try picking up dry sand. It just goes straight through. Opportunities are like that. They come, they go, they're gone. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, so great? Father, we thank you this evening for this time that we spent together. We thank you, Father, for so great salvation. We thank you for so great a Saviour. We thank you, Father, for one who has met and dealt with so great a need at such great cost to himself. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus this evening. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have tonight of being able to present him as the Saviour of sinners, to present him as a wonderful Saviour, a wonderful Lord and Master, one, our Father, who will not just forgive us our sins, but make us fit for heaven, fit for thy presence, and that for all eternity. We thank you, Father, for one who's completely trustworthy and reliable. And we thank you, Father, that for those who trust in him, that they will never be put to shame, never be confounded. And Father, we bless thee for thy so great salvation. We thank you that it is the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Father, it's all of thee. And it's nothing of us. Father, if there's any soul here this evening that doesn't know that salvation, doesn't know the Saviour, Father, we pray that thou take dealings with them by thy Spirit this evening and impress these things upon their hearts. Father, bless us as we go home now. Take us to our homes in safety. Now, Father, we just commit ourselves into thy hands as we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.